Welcome to the Pathways Podcast. My name is Mary Spiro. I'm your host. And today our guest is Rebecca Alvania, the brand new CEO of the American Society for Cell Biology. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Mary. I'm happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about how you became a scientist. What happened in your life that inspired you to become a scientist in the first place?
It was not a straightforward path, I'd say. As a child, I really loved math and I loved writing. I did not really get hooked on biology until high school. I had a fantastic biology teacher in high school and I just fell in love with the subject. I did not come from a family where anybody had been a scientist. I didn't have a lot of exposure to science as a career path. I intended to go to college for medical school. And when I got to college, part of my financial support package was a campus job. And one of the options that you could check on the list of jobs that you would like to be considered for was to work in a lab. And that seemed more interesting to me than potentially working in a campus store. So I checked that box. I worked in a variety of labs on campus and ended up in an olfactory lab where I did a lot of sequencing and molecular biology and just got hooked, absolutely loved it. And that was where I really decided that I wanted to continue on that path and go to graduate school and really just loved the scientific culture and the community.
I think it's really interesting that your option was to work in a lab and they didn't have you just washing dishes.
I did wash dishes too. It was a variety of things, but I went to a state school. There weren't a lot of graduate students or postdocs. And so that meant there was a lot of opportunity for undergrads to do real research and not just doing lab chores, which was fantastic. I had so much access to my PI. I learned so much. I really got to get my hands into the experiments. I presented a poster after a while. I was on papers. It was a really great experience.
And who would you say your mentors were at this time or who inspired you?
My lab mates, I had a small lab. One of the graduate students that I worked with, who is actually at the NIH now in communications, she was fantastic. She taught me everything. She really guided me. When I started using radioactive isotopes, she would remind me to use a screen. So she was wonderful. She was really a great mentor for me. And we kept in touch for years after.
Okay. Now I understand that after you had your research experience, you kind of moved into the publishing realm. What made you transition from doing research and being wanting to be a PI or something into the publishing branch of things?
So when I was in graduate school, I thought a lot about what I enjoyed about my experience, where I felt like my skills were, not just about the career that I wanted, the all caps science, I want to be a scientist when I grow up career. I thought a lot about what I liked doing during the day and what led to me feeling fulfilled at the end of the day, not just in 5-10 years. And I really loved writing. I loved giving talks. I loved communicating research. And I loved reading very broadly. I really enjoyed reading outside my specific research area. And that, I think that tendency towards breadth is what really pulled me into publishing, because that job does involve reading so broadly and keeping up to date with such a large expanse of research. And that really appealed to me. So that was what drew me to it. That and the opportunity to think about the communication side and how you write a narrative and how you structure that narrative to really guide a reader through what can be very complicated science and experimental procedures to get to the story, the really captivating scientific story that you're trying to tell. So that was what pulled me to the publishing field.
Yeah, because when you're doing research, your focus becomes more and more narrow. And what you're saying is you found yourself wanting to experience broader and broader, more content.
Exactly. Yes. The deeper you get into your area of expertise in the lab, Yes, you're reading about very specific proteins or genes. There are a handful of labs whose work you really follow. And as an editor, it's everything. You never know what paper you're going to open in the morning. And so you find yourself doing a lot of outside reading and background reading for areas that you're not an expert in. And I really loved that. It was that feeling of discovery every day when you learn about some new area of research that you weren't familiar with.
So now you've taken the step to lead a scientific society. What do you think is the most important thing for scientists to be aware of these days? Like what are the challenges in the scientific enterprise that you see?
I think that there's a lot of really great work being done around diversity, equity, and inclusion within the scientific community. And that's wonderful to see. I think that's really important. There seems to be a lot of energy around that. And I'm very hopeful that will be retained and built upon over the years, and certainly at AACB. I know that it's a huge area of focus and priority for myself as well. And that's wonderful. One area that I would like to see is disability to become more of a prominent part of diversity, equity, inclusion work, ensuring that these conversations around access to scientific careers and scientific exposure and opportunities is expanded to really start prominently talking about individuals that have different challenges towards access. So that's an area where I think that there's a little bit more work to do, but I think it's coming. I think it's going to be coming to the fore more, and I'm excited to see that.
Can you talk a little bit more about challenges to access? I noticed our previous Prize for Excellence in Inclusivity winner, Joanna Trejo, posted on Twitter recently that the NIH is still not giving funding to researchers of color, I don't remember the exact number, but of the tens of thousands of, I think it was 11,000 plus grants that were offered, only 194, I believe, were given to Black researchers. So is this an access issue that you're thinking of, or what do you mean by access?
My lens through which I see a lot of DEI work is through this lens of access. As a parent of a child that has special needs, it's something that I think about a lot. The fact that people have great potential and everyone is an individual and everyone has different challenges in terms of accessing their full potential, in terms of accessing the opportunities that they can excel at. And I think what's important is approaching that from an individualized way and making sure that people have the individualized support that they need to access their potential and the opportunities that they want and that they need. And I think societies can play a big part in that because of the global nature, the opportunities to give people a platform and a voice and exposure. So that's what I mean by access, is that I think everyone can succeed and achieve amazing things. We all have different challenges that we need in order to access that potential.
So shifting gears, what are some things that you really admire about the scientific community? What do you love about scientists and scientific societies?
Something that I really love about the scientific community is what I perceive as the shared sense of joy in discovery. Just this thrill of understanding something new for the very first time. You feel it when you're in lab and an experiment works that you put together and hypothesized, and it's working, and you've kind of cracked the nut and you figured out something brand new, and you're the only person that knows it at that moment. You experience that at a meeting or a conference when you hear an amazing talk that is just so elegant and lovely. And it's just a fun thing to share. You feel it across the auditorium where everyone is experiencing the same feeling of, it's amazing. And it's just fun to share that. And then to have those conversations and build off those insights I think it's something really fun and special about science and about the scientific community.
And about societies, what role do you think that they play in the scientific enterprise?
So what I think is really special about scientific societies is the fact that they bring people together. They bring scientists together across what can be a very large domain. They give support to scientists across all stages of their careers, which is so important. More and more, they provide support to scientists across a variety of careers that they may choose to move into. People are jumping from different careers, making lateral moves more and more these days. And I think societies can do a lot to support people in that, connect people to networking and mentoring opportunities so that they know what options are out there with scientific training, the different career opportunities that are out there. I think scientific societies still play a really important role in science communication and making sure that the best science in the field is being promoted and is being heard within the scientific community, but also in the public. So I think that they play a really unique and integral role as a hub, really, for a community. And I think that that will grow in the future as well.
Okay, now we got to get into some personal questions. Are you a morning lark or a night owl?
I am a morning lark, very much, as are my children. So they are 6 a.m. risers. And so I am as well. And I definitely am not a night owl. I am someone that needs my 8 hours every night, if possible. So I'm very much a person that likes to work during the daytime.
And how about, what do you do for fun? What are some things that you do to get you out there and COVID safe?
I'm a big reader. We live very close to our local library. And so if I have downtime, that's always what I would choose to do, is to just curl up with a book and take my kids out. We go to the park a lot, go for hikes a lot. So
what are some things that you'd like to accomplish in the new year? These could be professional things, personal things, anything that you'd like to kind of cross off your to-do list for this year.
You know, I think like a lot of people, what I would like to do is to be able to travel in 2022. I have a little one who isn't vaccinated yet, who can't be vaccinated yet. And so because of that, we haven't seen family and friends in quite some time. He's young enough that he has no memory of many of those family members that we haven't seen. And, you know, one of the joys of parenting is exposing these little people to the world and watching them experience things for the first time. And that's not something we've been able to do for a while. And I'd like to be able to do that. So fingers crossed, we will be able to do a bit more, that vaccinations will come for the littlest ones and we'll be able to feel a bit safer going out into the world.
Well, eventually he'll age into getting a vaccine if we have to put up with this long enough.
Eventually.
And how about professionally? Are there any things that you have sort of on your list of to do for ASCB?
Oh, there's a lot. First on my list is to really get to know the organization. I really would like to meet and hear from members as much as possible. I hope to, again, coming back to travel, to be able to travel myself professionally and visit folks where they are. I'd really like to just get to know all the different facets of our community that we serve. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hopeful that I will be able to do more of that in this year.
Hopefully we'll also be able to have an in-person meeting this year in Washington, D.C.
That would be lovely. I'm sure everybody would welcome that. So we will see how things evolve.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like ASCB members to know about you, or just anything in general?
Just that I am eager to hear from you all. I really envision ASCB as being a really member-oriented, member-driven society. I'm delighted to be here. My door is open, and please feel free to get in touch. I'd love to hear your thoughts and what the society means to you and what you would, how you would like to participate.
Well, thanks so much, Rebecca. I appreciated the time you took to chat with me today and getting to know you a little bit better.
Of course. Thank you very much, Mary.